Welcome to Chard and Cuppers Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, The Power of Giving Thanks.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about giving thanks to God and the power that is inherent in the giving of thanks to His great glory. Do you know that there's a secret power that is actually at work when we give thanks to God? To whom should we give thanks? Why should we give thanks? For what should we give thanks? And what is that super might that is at work when we give thanks to God? Now, that'll be a great encouragement to us. We as sinful creatures and weak human beings often forget to give thanks to God. We think we'll give thanks to Him when things turn out better for us, and then when they do, we forget to give thanks. But today, for our encouragement, let's take a look at the power that's at work when we give thanks to God, for our encouragement to do it before Him, always, as the Scriptures have taught. And so, let's be grateful people today in Jesus Christ and see how God would encourage us in that. First of all, to whom should we give thanks? Obviously, to God. Now, of course, when people do nice things for us, we give them thanks as well, and that's all marvelous. But let's take a look at giving thanks to the Lord. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It's He that made us. We're His, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." This is what God's will is for us, a joyful, hearty thank you to God at all times. And what should we give thanks to God for? Well, look at the next line. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." We give thanks to God that every good gift that we have in life comes from Him. This is what James says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Paul says in the book of Acts, "God is not served by human hands as though He needed anything." I mean, what are you going to give to God that He should say thank you to you? He owns everything, but He Himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. So you tell me, what are some things you'd give thanks to God for right now? Health. Very good. Ernie? Family. Yes. Huh? We're sitting here. Yeah. He gives to all men life and breath and everything. So take a nice deep breath. Do you know that that came from the Lord? Maybe we should take it in from Him and give, breathe out a thank you for that, that I have air in my lungs. Every good gift comes from Him. God says in Psalm 50, "He who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice, that person honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God." And God is shocked, actually, if we don't give thanks to Him, since He is the good gift giver. Remember, there were 10 lepers, and Jesus healed one of them, and all of them were, Jesus healed all of them, and they were all healed on the way. Only one, though, turned back with a mighty shout, came to Jesus and praised God with a loud voice, thanking Him for getting healed. And Jesus was like, didn't I just heal 10 people? Where are the other 9? God is absolutely shocked and appalled when people don't return to Him thanks, because it's His due. And He is delighted just exuberantly when people do give thanks. That's the right thing. And it's a joy to Him and it's a joy to us. And He said to that man, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So what should we specifically give thanks to God for? We could look at Luther's description of the Apostles' Creed. You remember memorizing that one many years ago? Well, we can give thanks first to God that He is our Father and Creator. We're here because He made us. I believe that God has made me, and He's made all creatures. He's given me my body, my soul, my eyes, my ears, all my senses, and He every day is taking care of and preserving them. He's given me my clothing and shoes. I'm very thankful that we're all dressed today. Good. That comes from the Lord. He gives us our food and our drink. Praise God for that. Our house and our home, our wife and our children, our fields, cattle. If you have cattle, do anybody have cattle? You have animals, though. And all my goods, He provides richly, me richly and daily, everything I need. That's a support that I need to support this body and life. Daily, He protects me from all danger, guards and preserves me from all evil. And why does He do this? Simply out of pure, divine, fatherly goodness to us, because He is good and without any worthiness or merit in me. And therefore, it's our duty to give Him thanks and praise. He blesses us with all good things. Second, we give thanks for Jesus Christ, His Son. We have a perfect salvation in Him. As we read from Luther, I believe that God, that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten from the Father from eternity, and He's also true man, was born of the Virgin Mary. He's my Lord. And He's redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, death, and the power of the devil. And He didn't do it with gold and silver, but with His own precious body and blood, His innocent suffering death, in order that I might be His own and live under Him in His kingdom, just as He's risen from the dead, and be His own and live and reign with Him to all eternity. So do you thank God for this? Think about this. Without Jesus Christ, you'd be condemned. But in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation for you. He's poured out His blood, lavishly saved you. Oh, will we not return a thanks and a hearty thanks to Him? I am a saved and redeemed creature and a son of the living God. We can thank Him for that all the time. And thirdly, for the Holy Spirit. Because as we read again from Luther, it says, I believe that I can't by my own reason and strength come to God or to Jesus Christ my Lord, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. He's enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, and justifies me. He calls me, gathers and enlightens me and the whole church, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church, the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives me all my sins, applying Jesus Christ to me, giving me everlasting life, and He'll raise me from the dead on the last day. This is most certainly true. I mean, come on, what do you want to thank God for? Thank Him for that. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you could have a God who created you. You could have Jesus who redeemed you at the cross, but it's still of no use to you unless the Holy Spirit takes what was achieved at the cross and brings it to you in a preacher, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and gifts it to you, incorporates you in Christ, unites you with Him, and makes you a son of God. So, hey, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your mighty works in our lives. I give thanks to Thee, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify Thy name forever, for great is Thy steadfast love toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Amen. Do you give thanks to God for these things about Himself today? Now, to the really important question about when should we give thanks to God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, who can say it with me? Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you give thanks to God in all circumstances? You know, there's a lot of times when we tend to look at the wickedness and the trouble and what we don't have. When we give thanks to God, even in trouble, that opens our eyes to see the wonders of His work around us. And I would say to you, don't just give thanks muttering it or in your mind. When I sometimes give thanks to God when I don't really feel like it, I kind of start and it's in my mind, and then I kind of mutter it a little bit and I find myself mumbling. I don't know what to say. There's no power in it. I say, just keep saying it, Greg. Say it out loud. And I start thanking God for this and I thank God for that. After a little while, it builds on itself and more power comes in, and all of a sudden I'm going like an hour. But it takes saying it out loud. The walls of Jericho fell on account of a mighty shout from God's people. They didn't just go, you know, praise God. But glory to the living God, and down come the walls. So we want to give thanks to God in the good times and the bad, in the sunshine and the rain, in times of plenty when prayers are answered, and here's the key for today, before your prayers are answered. You ever do that? We think, I'll thank God when I get what I want, and then I'll return to him a thanks. Usually what happens is we forget to give thanks when that happens. How about this? All circumstances, at all times, before your prayers are answered. Do you give thanks in the middle of trouble and evil? That's his will for us, and there's power in it. Let's take a look at that in the scriptures. We'll see this theme for the rest of the message. John chapter 6. Jesus goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, remember. It's about Passover time, and great crowds follow him. And Jesus says to his disciples, to Philip, how are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, this he said to test him, to see, for he himself knew what he would do. He wants to know, how are the disciples going to respond to this impossible, troublesome situation? Well, they offer, you know, if we had a year's wages, 200 denarii, we couldn't buy enough for each of them to get a little. And then he says, make the people sit down. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had, oh, this is interesting, when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. What's strange about this? When has the miracle occurred yet? The miracle has not even happened yet. They're in an impossible, crazy, can't-fix situation. At that point, Jesus gives thanks to the Father, and then comes the miracle, and the loaves and fishes are multiplied. What do you get from this about an example for your life? Don't wait until the miracle comes. Give praise in the middle of the trouble. When the praise goes up, the power then comes down, and everybody ate and were satisfied. Now, if we think about that, why is that so powerful? Well, if you give thanks to God after you get the answer, that's good. We should do that as well. But when you give thanks to God before, while you're still in the middle of danger, trouble, scarcity, devastation, between a rock and a hard place, what is another word for that? Trust, which is also another word for faith. Giving thanks to God before the miracle is the greater faith. And what? How do you think God responds to that? Oh, they're giving thanks to me before I do anything? Well, maybe I'll answer them, maybe not. I don't know. Is that what God thinks? He sees you down here on earth from his lofty throne. He sees you surrounded by enemy armies. You're praising him? You're giving thanks to him that he's going to help and deliver you? How is that going to move the Father's heart? He's going to be exuberantly filled with a desire to want to run down here and give you even more than you asked for, because he says, that person's trusting me. He's giving thanks before I even answer. He believes in my character. He believes in my might. He believes in my faithfulness. Watch out. Watch what I'm going to do for you. This is the secret power, if we can call it secret, of thanks given before the miracle occurs. What trouble are you in today? Might you give thanks to God in the middle of that trouble right now? Start praising him. You know, at least this miracle is going to happen. Your heart will be changed. It's going to start driving away your discouragements and your fears and your downcast spirit. And you're going to be like, hey, I'm actually feeling great already just by giving thanks. But what about the outward circumstances? Let's open up in Mark chapter 11. Jesus says this about prayer. Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Isn't there something a little strange about the tense of those verses? You are supposed to pray, believe that you have already received it, and then it will be yours. Notice that? Believe it's already in your possession, and then it will be granted to you. What better way to do that, I put before you today, than to give thanks to him while you're still in danger and trouble, and then it shall be yours, and he works mightily. This is a theme of Scripture, friends. When the thanks go up, the power of God comes down. Already the clouds are lifting for you in your heart, and courage and optimism and peace and joy come into you when you give thanks to God, and it brightens your spirit. But it also changes your outward circumstances very often. Let's consider another situation. Would you call this a rock and a hard place when Lazarus was in the tomb? Jesus walks up and the guy's dead, okay? And he's in a rock and he's between a hard place. You can't get a more impossible situation than this. And nobody there sees the potential except, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we see? He comes to this tomb when everything is just nothing but darkness and despair. And Jesus says, take away the stone. He lifts up his eyes and he says, Father, I thank you. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that you hear me always, but I've said this on account of these people standing by, that they may know that thou hast sent me. So check it out. The guy's still dead, right? The tomb is still sealed. Jesus starts praising God and thanking him even before there's a miracle. And what happens? In a result of that, the praise goes up and the thanks, the power comes down, the stone is taken away, Lazarus, come out! And out comes a dead man. Up he comes from the grave. Notice, again, the theme, okay, for today is give thanks before the miracle, and then God responds in a mighty, victorious way. That's if you're between a rock and a hard place. You've been between a rock and a hard place today. Despairing, can't get out. There's no way out of this, Lord. Start thanking him. Start praising him. And then see what he'll do. How about if you're surrounded by enemies? You got enemies today? You got troubles? Battles come against you. Maybe they're evil forces and demonic realms. Maybe it's an earthly enemy. Think about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Now, at this point, there are three armies coming against them of innumerable soldiers and power such that there's no way to win. They're coming against Jerusalem and the king to destroy them. And Jehoshaphat basically prays to God, we are powerless against this foe. We can't do anything against them, but our eyes are upon thee, God. And then they go out into a battle that there's no way to win, according to the flesh. And who does Jehoshaphat send out ahead of his army? Who knows it? Flanking guards, the Green Berets? Does he send out the special forces? Does he send out scouts? He sends out praisers and trumpeters before his army. Would you do that? We read, when he had taken counsel with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army and say to give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's what he sent out as his forward troops to the battle. People who just praise God. And what do we read? The unbeatable battle, the unwinnable war, the trumpets. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed. And Israel gets there, the army, and all they do is lick up spoil for 3 days, and they couldn't even gather it all in. There was so much stuff. They filled their pockets, and they had no more room. You know, when you are facing an unwinnable battle today, and there's a lot of them today, a lot of enemies, both spiritual and earthly, that we have to face, and it's unwinnable, consider sending out your praises, your trumpeters, your thanksgivings to God, for his steadfast love endures forever. You know, as you do that, how do you think God's going to respond in heaven? Oh, well, they're praising me, but, you know, we got to just let things take their course, so sorry. Or is he going to be moved to run down here and say, watch what I'm about to do for you? At least change our heart, if not the outward circumstances, very likely. Because thanksgiving is kind of like an electrical connection. If you take like a light bulb and then you connect the wire from the battery to it, you know, the power from the battery wants to flow in and light the light. But what do you have to do, those who are electricians? You've got to complete the circuit and connect the other wire to the other side. Then the current starts flowing around and the light bursts into bright glory. Well, it's the same way. When God wants to give us all these things, return to him the thanksgiving, and then the power marvelously flows. Not like we're manipulating God, but it's just the way a living relationship goes with the Lord. When we praise him, he delights to do marvelous things for us. Are you at the bottom of a pit today, sunk in the sea, feeling there's no way to escape from your present situation? Well, Jonah was cast into an ocean. Picture the raging waves, how icy the depths felt about him. And then a fish, a great one, swallows him up. And he plunges down to the depths, to the hidden mountains at the bottom of the ocean. Black as pitch, cold sea, carried away, lost forever from the land of light in the frothy black deep. What would you do down there? We read Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, the waters closed in over me, the deep surrounded me, weeds wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. But I will, with the voice of thanksgiving, offer sacrifice to thee. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Terrible situation. He starts praising God, and what happens? Next line, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. So, are you swallowed up by something today? I can't get out of this, Lord. Wait a second. What am I doing? Let's just start praising God. Deliverance belongs to you, Lord. You're great. You're faithful. Your steadfast love endures forever. Fish, spit them out upon the earth, and that they may live. You know, if you're locked up in a prison today and you can't get out of a dark place, consider Paul and Silas. At Philippi, they were beaten up, bleeding wounds. Their feet were in the stocks. Each second was more torturous to them. It was a dank inner cell. Every move caused them pain from their day's beating. A cold jail in a foreign land, iron fetters upon them. What would you do? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's fetters were unfastened. And after that, they witness to the jailer, he gets saved, all of his family, the next day they come out as free men. But in the middle of despair, iron fetters, deep prison, they praised God. Their hearts were changed, people listening to them were changed, God's heart was changed. Look at this, they're praising me. Watch this earthquake I'm about to give you, and I'll set you free. My point is, we all face really tough situations. I'm sure you've got some today. God is telling you right now today, through his word, praise me. Just start thanking me. I know you don't feel like it. You don't see anything to give thanks for. Just start doing it by an act of the will. It'll increase power in you. Thanksgiving will build on itself. Our relationship will begin to glow even the brighter, and I will deliver you in one way or another. You know, we don't always have to have exactly what we ask for. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he says, three times I asked the Lord that he would take it out of me. But God said to him, and his answer was, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And Paul was like, hey, I was praising God. That's even a better answer than I was asking for. And God will either change your outward circumstances or change your heart or do both of them, but he isn't going to sit up there and do nothing. When you're praising him and thanking him, he sends down upon you great strength and deliverance. Again, say it with me, when the thanks go up, the power comes down. I'm glad you said that, because otherwise I go on for another 20 minutes. But now that I see you have the point, know this, you can't stay afraid for long. You can't stay depressed for long. You can't stay in despair or down for long when the thanks goes up. It's going to change you, and it's going to change also the outward circumstances very likely. God says, pray constantly. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is my will for you in Christ Jesus. And when you do, it just draws us together with our Father, and he with us, his sons. Like a king being very close with his knights in the field. When we give praise to him, his power is all the mightier and stronger in us. And we give thanks to him today, especially for our creation, our salvation in Jesus Christ, and our daily preservation by the Holy Spirit. So we'll conclude with this word from Psalm 59. My God, in his steadfast love, will meet me. My God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. And we will say, as it says in Psalm 30, God, you've turned now my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Power of Giving Thanks, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. And God bless you.
Forgiver of my sin, healer of my heart, merciful and kind, slow to my life.